Wait, we're in the last hour already? What? Can't believe that. Well, we are. That means that we'll try and clear some lines for you so you can jump on, and we'll get you in sometime between now and the end of the show. If you missed that first hour, by the way, go back and listen to the conversation we were having with Jason Heller about the Pink Floyd tune. Pink Floyd playing live over the in the same studio where they were showing the moonwalk that was taking place with in 1969 with Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. It's so weird. You can find it on YouTube too, but it was a great conversation. Hope you listen to the book. If you don't, go back, find any conversation you want for the week if you're a Coast insider, including that fun new segment Tim Banal at the beginning of the show. Tracking the big stories for the week that are at coasttocoastam.com. At Deacon Punnett, if you want to stay in touch during the week. There's also a Facebook page, too. I should shout out to Michelle Lynn on that one. So one of these nights, we'll just do an after-show chat on the, there's like a, I guess it's like a fan page. I hate to use that word, but it'd be like a buddy page. So we'll go be buddies on Facebook. We'll get your open line calls coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so Richard was first up in Victoria, BC on a wild card line. Hey, Richard. Oh, Richard just dropped? No, after all that? Oh, dude, call back. We'll go to Joey in Bonnie Lake, Washington on Coast to Coast. Joey? Joey, you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, there you go. Hey, open lines. Go ahead. Where are you going to take us?
Hey, I was calling to see if you guys knew anything about like mysterious abandoned staircases found out in the woods. Heard several different stories about this. Maybe you guys even covered it.
I haven't covered it before. Have you seen them?
No, I have not, but I've heard all sorts of just crazy stories. A lot of search and rescue people telling stories about, you know, their, you know, seniors telling them to kind of stay away from them. They just like abandoned staircases out in the middle of the woods that apparently you're supposed to steer clear of.
Are they like staircases, like four or five stairs, like going up to a small plane or something like that? Or are they like a really formal, like, you know, stairway to heaven kind of thing?
Kind of a little bit of both. They go nowhere. They're really just staircases. I've seen a few pictures online. They vary from being wooden, you know, pretty good condition to old stone ones. But really, yeah, you just...
Well, no, some of those, maybe. Like, all right, so like you say a stone one, here's my first thought. I don't know if this is true, but I have seen the remnants of a cabin that had burned down many, many years ago, and there were stone or brick steps that went up to the front door. There was nothing left of the cabin. You couldn't see anything about the foundation. You couldn't see that, you know, all of that had just, you know, there was no basement. So it was like a slab house or something, and or nothing at all. It was just on a like a dirt foundation. And that's possible that they could have, you know, they caught fire. Trees have grown back since then. And the only thing, they just left the staircase there.
All right.
That's, I mean, it's a thought. I don't know. But I'd like to keep looking into it, but I definitely will. I'll take a poke around.
Yeah. Some of the things I've read say, you know, different things from like missing time.
Yeah.
Like hauntings almost, kind of similar stuff like that.
I'm game for all of that. I'll look into it. I'll see if I can find somebody who spent some time studying it. Richard's called back. He's on a wild card line in Victoria, BC. Richard?
Yeah, funny phones, but we're here. Ian, I wanted to commend you on that first interview. It brought to mind past interviews with our Gary Patterson.
Yeah.
You know, great looks at rock and roll, blessings to the memory of our Gary and to his inquisitive soul.
Loved him. Loved him. He was great.
I wanted to throw out two or three songs for people's consideration, one of which is often used as bumper on Coast to Coast. It's Hypnotized by Fleetwood Mac, and this would be
Mystery to Me album, isn't it?
I think so. Two or three years before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined, and it was written by Bob Welch, who was an American guitarist.
Yeah.
And I got to interview Bob back in the 70s, but it was one of those you only get 8 or 9 minutes with him, and I never got around to finding out if he was a Carlos Castaneda fan, but there's some eerie lyrics about, sure, you know, UFOs the size of a football field.
Well, you know, Hypnotized is a super cool song, so I highly recommend people to go look it up. If they think Fleetwood Mac is just, you know, the Buckingham Nicks era forward, they're missing great music, because I go back to Fleetwood Mac to the blues album, the Fleetwood Mac Chicago Blues album, when they were still really, like, you know, they were still with Peter Green and they were a blues band. And then they started bringing in Bob Welch, who's an American, and then Danny Kirwin, who died not too long ago, I think. And some of the other people that they rotated in that guitar position after Peter Green skitzed out. I love early Fleetwood Mac. I love Bear Trees. I love all that stuff. You picked a great song. I listen to Hypnotized all the time. It's really cool. And so good. I'm sorry. Was there more to your point?
Well, I think I got it. Very briefly, a group out of Vancouver called The Collectors. They were produced by Dave Passenger, who did the Electric Prunes and who engineered the early Stones hits. And they had a sci-fi song on their first album called Howard Chrisman's Older. And the album was recently reissued a few years ago with Richie Unterberger doing liner notes. But it's a real eerie song about a young kid who just, his brain grows exponentially, he cures diseases, but then things start to turn, and, you know, it kind of all falls apart physically for the guy. Very thought-provoking song, and the group, The Collectors, later became Chilliwack. They had some hits in the
space. She's gone, baby, she's gone.
Exactly. And one of their mid-70s albums, there was a suite called Far Side of the Sun. Apparently, they've been touring and saw some cheesy sci-fi movie, late-night TV, that I guess was called Far Side of the Sun.
Yeah.
So
I
they
like
wrote a suite on that topic.
Well, I appreciate you sharing all that. That's great. I love Chilliwack. And you know, a good thing gone bad, if there's one consistent theme in sci-fi, whether on any platform, it is certainly that. Okay, so Kevin's in Houston on Coast to Coast, and then we'll get to Scott coming up in just a second. Hey, Kevin?
Yes, Ian.
All right, so open lines, where do you want to go?
Oh, wow, what a great show tonight, Ian. Wow. I've been collecting vinyl since 1963. I have stuff from the 1900s Edison disc all the way to the present, over 25,000 pieces.
That's awesome.
And just a couple bits of trivia and then one notation. You know, the old saying, which one in Pink Floyd, which one's pink? It was sort of a thing within the band. The one that was pink was the founder, the one that was schizophrenic, Sid Barrett. He was actually considered pink in Pink Floyd.
That's interesting.
And another note is that there's a band in Germany. They're an acoustical band, and Ian, their scores have been in more movies than any movie. Any of the movies in history, and that's Tangerine Dream from Germany.
Sure, I remember them. Yeah, I remember they had a whole. They did a movie that was rotoscoped to their music. Was it Wizards? Was that they did the soundtrack for Wizards?
Well, they did Source, the Sorcerer, the Thief with James Caan.
Right. Yeah,
they go way back to the '60s, and even today, a lot of their scores are used. They don't do a lot of live concerts, but they have hundreds of albums, literally hundreds of albums.
Just
great acoustical, dreamy, trippy, great listening records. Really, really soothing. I can't hardly describe them. They're psych blues. They're everything. They're a little bit of everything. They're great.
I remember that.
I talked to record dealers who have gone through tens of millions of records. And there is one, and the band is not an Illuminati or related to the Illuminati themselves. There is one unique Illuminati record where you can see the all-seeing blue eye from the cover when it's folded up. Now, the artist, when you open, it's a gatefold, and the artist had intended to do this but failed because I don't think the musicians wanted to participate in this. But there's two artists in amongst the five that they were supposed to hide one of their eyes behind the center artist, the front artist, where you close the cover and you see his blue eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of, I'm going to throw it out there to anybody that you want me to tell you, or do you want me to leave it to your guests to see if they can guess? Because even the record dealers that have been through tens of millions of records don't have a clue which record I'm referring to.
Well, the only thing it sounds like is Carnival by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, but I don't know. So real quickly on that, but I got some other people hanging on, but what's the punchline for that?
Rolling Stones, Black and Blue, with Mick Jagger's blue eye on the corner.
Oh, yeah.
On the edge of the label, and if you go through your albums and you got clear plastic cases, you can see the blue eye, the all-seeing blue eye.
Very good. Appreciate that. Thanks. Interesting. And, you bring up some great memories of bands that were exploring sci-fi themes. Goes back to our first guest. Let me go to, who's the first-time caller line? Scott is in California on Coast to Coast AM. Scott?
Hi, Ian. It's nice to have you back.
Thank you. It's fun coming back from time to time.
Yes. So I'm amazed you haven't brought up Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah. Right.
They're the granddaddy of science fiction heavy metal band.
Well, they're not the granddaddy but you make a good point. I mean, they should have been mentioned. I believe he talks about them in the book. But that was kind of the cool thing about this retrospective is how much deeper and earlier the roots went before groups like BOC.
Well, look at BOC with Extraterrestrial Intelligence before E.T. came out.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, E.T., of course, would be a little late to the party anyway. But I think Blue Oyster Cult, I love Blue Oyster Cult. I'm on board with that. And
Vigil.
What's that?
There was a song called The Vigil.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think you've highlighted one which, if people were keeping track of these things at home, you got a lot of work ahead to get caught up on great sci-fi songs that actually tell a sci-fi narrative, beginning, middle, and end, which is part of it, not just using a reference here or there or showing a picture on a cover, but actually doing something with it. Dennis is west of the Rockies in Eugene on Coast to Coast. Dennis?
Hi, Ian. Hey, love having you. Hey, I would like to talk about Strawberry Fields Forever just for a second, but what I'd like to say also, when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, boys put down baseball bats and picked up guitars and drums. That's what
true.
They did. And
That's
then by
true.
The time Revolver and Rubber Soul came out, everybody was like, wow, things are changing. You can be your own person, you know, to make rock and roll. But when Strawberry
we'll add one more thing to that. Not only do they put down their baseball bats and pick up guitars, but on one single night, the stock in Brill Cream plummeted.
Oh,
as, right? Every boy started to comb their hair down over their eyes as fast as possible. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to also say, because I'm really proud of this, but I'm a fourth generation San Franciscan and my roots go back to 1859. The only reason I mention that is because I've seen what was going on in the city during the 60s and everything, but all the grunge bands and all that. But the Beatles were kind of like, you know, forefronting, like, well, what's going on in culture? So when Strawberry Fields came out, I just remember being blown away, and I still am. I think it's their greatest kind of consummate song. If you want to listen to what the Beatles sound like, that's the song to listen to. And what's really funny about it is it was like a place where John Lennon kind of used to go.
Sure.
When you listen to the music and you listen to the guitar playing, and Paul McCartney was the one who wrote the introduction to the song, because John didn't really have a beginning to it, so Paul wrote it on a, like on a Moog synthesizer.
Right.
It's incredible. I think that they were just like, they were so far advanced. And God bless them for it, because, you know, music kind of goes, you know, like the Smoke on the Water, all the great songs, they go into the archives of, oh, this was a great song this day. But what the Beatles were doing was telling you a way it was at the time that the stuff was being written. And I think that's where their gift was. You know, there's a better musicians, there's better everything, but they were writing about the time, what was going on.
It was the gestalt of all four of them, as opposed to one or two, you know, singer songwriters in a band. I'll agree with that. And I'll point out something else. And thanks for the comment. Thanks for jumping in. But, you know, it does kind of tie in. Alan Parsons was the engineer for Abbey Road and Let It Be. And then, of course, is the engineer for Dark Side of the Moon, and then goes on to start the Alan Parsons Project. And that was all predicated on, really, I think, on what George Martin, a lot of what George Martin did. He saw a great producer could perhaps drive a whole album, just like, you know, the rise of the auteur director in Scorsese and Lucas, and not Lucas, a little early for Lucas, but and some of the Peckinpah, some of the other auteur directors who took total control of a movie and brought in actors to do the parts as they wanted them to, not allowed the actors to do it the way they wanted it. And that's really why, how that, you know, Alan Parsons things got started. So they all kind of connect together. It is cool that way. All right. So James is on a wild card line in Greensboro. James?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Or tonight, actually. You guys, I've not heard anybody mention that. I think it's almost a must as far as the topic with the music is. One from 1979, Billy Thorpe, Children of the Sun.
Children of the Sun. Yeah.
And the album are really awesome. But
I agree. And I used to play the hell out of that when I was a rock jock. It was Children of the Sun. Oh, my God. All the time.
Yes, yeah. Just any comments you want to make, I'll take it off air. And I certainly appreciate you guys.
Well, I'll make it real quick. I have two words for you in light of Billy Thorpe, because I think he was the next generation, which was Aldo Nova, which I think ties directly back to that whole Billy Thorpe thing and that exploration of that idea of space fantasy. Jim's in North South Carolina. We have time for Jim. Jim's in South Carolina. Open lines. Where do you want to go with this?
Jim? As much of
the earlier caller, let him know I've lived in North and South Carolina both, and everybody knows about Badfinger, so they are not forgotten.
I don't think they are either.
The Carpenters had a song called Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft.
A cover of the Klaatu song, yeah.
Yes, just, with the topic that you're on. And the biggest thing about music, you know, they released the top 20 albums of all time, top 20 selling albums, and most of them were from the 70s.
Well, of course, remember, too, that also speaks to the fact that it's not just great music, but it's had a long time to get played. So the fact that the Eagles' greatest hits once more topped Thriller from Michael Jackson, which was, you know, 80s, but still... the Eagles' greatest hits, I think now is 37 times platinum or some insane amount. They're really good songs, but there was not my favorite Eagles songs on that album. It's just been around for a very, very long time. And if you're going to buy one Eagles album, that's what you're going to buy. But I'm with you. I think the stuff is great. And, I was just thinking about South Carolina earlier because I don't know a lot about, I know a lot of genres. I don't know about shag, which is a whole Carolina coast thing. And I hear people play it from time to time or identify something as a shag record. And I don't know. I just don't know it very well. All right. So, Jim, thank you for jumping in. So we'll get to Jeff and Matt and Tom and Jeff and Brian and whatever. Everybody else, we'll get you lined up. So hang in there because we'll do open lines for another half hour. And then coming up tomorrow night, if you want to do Coast to Coast Live with George Norrie, he's going to be performing in Asheville, North Carolina. Don't miss that. Find out more details on the website, coasttocoastam.com. All the numbers you need to hook up to one of these lines next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Oh, there you go. From the first hour, we were talking with Tim Banal. He mentioned that. It was one of his favorite space songs from CCR. And it looks like that's kind of going to dominate the next half hour. It just is. That's where everybody's going, for open lines. You don't have to, though. If you could grab one, take us anywhere you want. But I have a feeling we'll get back to that next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so it's open lines on Coast to Coast, and I think we left off roughly with Jeff in San Diego on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Jeff?
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Got that radio down in the background?
Yeah, let me step a little bit away from that.
That'd be good. Sure. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I got two things for you. One is, are you familiar with parts of San Diego?
San Diego is a city I have just not spent any time in, and I always want to. I almost moved there. I had a job offer there once, but I didn't go. So, yes. No, you have to be more specific then for me. I'm sure other people will know what you're talking about.
I'm not going to monopolize my time on that. I don't want to ask you about something you don't have the familiarity with. Just basically a sighting of an odd creature that would be in the lines of a Bigfoot or some kind of, extremely big and scared. Scared me half to death where I was too afraid to even draw a sidearm.
But this is around the San Diego area, so in the mountains.
Hamul, actually.
Okay, interesting.
Where they built the casino down there, on top of a mountain overlooking a reservoir. And then right behind that's the Cleveland National Forest.
Well, that sounds very pretty. And I know the lake you're talking about because it was in an episode of Columbo once. But the reservoir you're talking about. But so is he any different than the Bigfoot Yeti type? Does he have a distinguishing characteristic other than god-awful smell?
The house is mainly windows in the front. The plot I have out there is 20 acres. My dog took off like a rocket. I thought it was going to break the window. And this thing jumped. It almost becked the Jersey Devil the way it responded, but I know it didn't actually fly. And it was twice my size. I'm 6 foot, just over six, and 180 pounds or so. This freaking thing was twice my size.
You think it was over? You think it was 12 feet?
No, sorry, not twice my height, but I'm
okay. Your girth. Okay, fine. Twice my
weight. It was probably about 7.5. Well, it was kind of crouched, but moved fast.
It was bigger than you, and it was thicker and bigger.
Somewhere between 7 to 8 feet, roughly. It's kind of hard to tell in the dark with the moonlight. It was enough to at least shine on it, and I don't know what it was, but the stride on this thing was friggin' ridiculous.
I bet. Do you still have that property?
Yeah, I sure do. In fact, I'll be heading out there here very shortly, as I still do some construction on the place over the weekends.
Well, stop by your, local Best Buy or whatever, and strap a camera to a tree or a pole. And do one of those things, it's triggered by motion, and see whether or not you can get lucky again, get a picture.
Yeah, I'm working on setting up some electrical out there to, I know.
Those are battery operated, so it's, they're solar operated, those cameras.
The other part, I wanted to get back to music. I wanted to compliment you.
Sure.
Figured I'd ask you about the creature thing just to see if you were familiar with the area. So
no,
my apologies on that.
That's right.
Now, music-wise, I wanted to compliment you saying it's nice to have a host filling in for George, who's actually, George is awesome, but it's nice to see the difference here where I've got a guy that's super, knowledgeable on the kind of music I like. If you saw my vinyl collection.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, there's so many years of being a disc jockey, and it rarely comes in handy, but it does on a topic like this.
Nobody likes, good old music like this anymore. I've got a ton of vinyl. And, I'm 34 years old. Nobody cares about any of this stuff. Original Led Zeppelin records, right? You've got three with a kaleidoscope, or, you've got what is it, Enter the Outdoor in the brown paper bag, or think of Velvet Underground and Nico with the banana on peel.
You've named some good ones.
People don't care about any of that stuff.
I've got Tommy on Decca, on the original Decca label. For the Who, it's like the only really valuable album I have, but it's cool and I love it. So thanks, I appreciate you jumping in. By the way, you should go online then if you like Pink Floyd, go take a look at that cut we played on YouTube called Moonhead, of Pink Floyd ad-libbing music to the Walk on the Moon. I like one wag put a comment. It was a perfect description. It was like another Kubrick in the wall. And that's exactly what it was. All right, so Annie's in Alabama. It wouldn't be a week without hearing from Annie. Annie, we have a minute here for you.
I love all the Chinese people. I love all the people who manufacture the genuine Ming Dynasty porcelain I have, and some that is even Neolithic. And there are copies available that look like they're decrepitly old on eBay, and so I wanted to order this book. the new and revised handbook of marks on Chinese ceramics, and I'm studying Chinese. I don't know much Chinese. I wanted the 2013 version by Gerald Davidson, so I decided I would Google it, and it's $600 for the hardback and $400 and $300 for hardbacks. It's a little overpriced. Okay. I can't afford it. Can't afford an appraiser. So I decided I was just going to get the book, and I decided I would download it free. And I found over 100 websites saying that they have the book for a free download. And I went through the whole nine yards with every one of these websites. I put in an 80-hour week. I want everybody to know that you're going to be scammed by these websites that say they've got the book free, and you give them a credit card number, and then you find out they do not have the book at all.
No, wait, wait, wait. How many people do you think are going to be trying to buy a copy of an old book on Chinese ceramics?
It has nothing to do with which book it is. It's every book that you Google.
Oh, okay.
No matter what book you Google.
Somebody will take your money.
The Better Business Bureau has umpteen reports on these companies.
Oh,
a lot
good.
Of it turned out to be the same company under lots of different names, taking my money every time.
Well, don't do that again. How many times does that happen before you're going to stop doing that?
Whatever it takes to get my book on the press.
Okay.
How it happened, because
right.
I can depend on Wells Fargo to fix it for me.
Okay, well, I hope that's always true. I hope that's always true, that Wells Fargo is willing to fix it for you. God bless you on that. Annie, you are, I bet you everywhere you go, Annie, it's like open lines wherever you go. You always have something to say, so... Thank you so much for jumping in. Let me go to Brother Don in Kent, Ohio, on Coast to Coast AM.
Brother Eon, happy Sabbath, buddy.
Thank you, and you too.
And, hey, I wanted to bring something up, a little music-related. Just before the Detroit Tigers, the Chicago Cubs game, they had a moment of silence. To give, you know, pay tribute to the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. But during
awesome.
That moment of silence... Ahead of the game, and over the whole stadium, a rainbow appeared in the sky.
Oh, I saw that photo. I saw that photo. That was way cool.
But, yeah. You know, it's interesting. If you go into Scripture, above God's throne in Revelation 4:3, there is a rainbow. And it's interesting. It looks to me, and it appears to anybody, that the Lord gave Aretha Franklin a little respect.
I like that thought. And remember, too, the rainbow in the Bible is a covenant sign. So, you know, then one could wonder, what's the covenant? Was that what, you know, Aretha, more than just anything else, she brought a lot of people together over the generations who are respecting that amazing God-given talent of hers. So, cool, Brother. Now, if you see my friend in Kent, Ohio, Joe Fortunato, say hi to Joe for me. Elaine is in Fort Myers, Florida on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Elaine?
Hi. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, right on the Caloosahatchee River.
Yep.
And I just wanted to say, well, this is another big example of how humans are destroying the earth with this. You know, now that we have this terrible algae problem and everything, you know, I mean. And
that's a lot of from the runoff, isn't it, from Florida, they're saying, a lot of the farm runoff?
Yeah, from river up there.
Yeah.
Up from the Lake Okeechobee. And it's like everybody wants to blame everybody else, but the main thing is nobody wants. It's responsibility that nobody wants to take, and it's just a destruction of our whole state is.
Well, that is
destroyed by this.
You're right. You know, this is the balance of nature, as they say. It does not take much for nature to get out of balance, and yeah, you all are living it. I'm sorry about that. Your interesting thought. Appreciate it. First time caller line. Brian is in London, Canada, on Coast to Coast AM.
How are you doing?
Hey, great. Open lines.
Okay. Have you ever heard of a band called Colonel Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen?
Commander Cody.
Yeah.
It's Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, not Colonel. Yeah. So, yeah, Pappy said, son, you're going to drive in a drink if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Yeah, I know Commander Cody really well. I love all their albums. They're really cool. And very smart band. Commander Cody's, I think there's three PhDs in Commander Cody. Like, everybody in the band ended up getting a PhD or a master's. They're brilliant. Yeah, I love them. Do you love them?
I got sucked in because I thought they were going to be like a bluegrass band by the photo on the album, and turns out that they're smoking a lot of weed. One of their songs is, I got the seeds and stems again.
Yeah, well, and, you know, smoke that cigarette, too. They did a nice remake of that old Phil Harris song. Yeah, I dig Commander Cody, and they just, you couldn't define them, really. I mean, they just didn't fit any one particular genre, and they combined everything really beautifully. I love them. I just thought they were great. And they're on YouTube, by the way. If you type in Commander Cody, there's a very cool, there's two of them, I think, where they recorded their album, tracks from the album, live, but they're outside. And so they pull all these chords out from the recording studio, and they're like playing outside of a barn. It's really good. You got to watch that. I'm big on them. Tom's in Massachusetts, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Hey, Tom.
Oh, how you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I want to talk about sci-fi songs that sure. I enjoyed in my life. A couple of them are before 63. That's one of the Egyptian airplanes. Plastic Fantastic Lover.
Cool.
The other one was Jimi Hendrix. I think it was Third Stone from the
Sun. Yeah, Third Stone from the Sun. Yep.
Yeah. He says he doesn't recognize the Earth when he comes back, and he says, maybe it's just a change of climate.
Right. Yeah, there's a bunch. Yeah, in that book, they really tie together very specifically the books that Jimi Hendrix was reading at the time, and then what he ended up writing with it. I think you'd enjoy that. Thank you, Tom. I'm running out of time, so I got to try and get in Matt, who's in New York on Coast to Coast AM. Matt, open lines.
Hey, Ian. I just want to tell you, man, great job tonight. I love it when you're in. Quick question. The Doors, American Prayer. This line right here. Indians scattered on Dawn's highway bleeding. Ghosts crowd the young child's bread. Jail, eggshell, mine. Would love to know your take on that.
Well, right. Isn't that the lyric that goes back to the famous car accident that he witnessed?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard different beliefs in this and that. I just was curious what your opinion might be.
I'm heavily influenced by the Oliver Stone movie. So it ends up sort of defining the way I look at that song. You know, I will say I'm not always convinced about the quality of Jim Morrison's lyrics, but that one is a complete exception. That's a really cool. I just like the images he goes for. I thought the kind of neat couplets in there, too. And so I'm big on that particular song. Other songs of his, you know, Riders on the Storm, I love the song, but, you know, Riders on the Storm, there's a killer on the road, his brain is squirming like a toad. It just sounded like something I would write when I was 12. So I think you picked out a really good one, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad you like the Doors are great. They're fun to play around with. Ron's in Fresno, and we're winding down as we get to the top of the hour. I think we have time maybe for one more call.
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Good, Ron. Where do you want to take us?
Hey, I was just wondering if you knew any doctors or therapists that are currently working with abductees, you know, doing regression therapy or anything.
Not actively.
That's kind of like faded away, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of people that were doing it for a while, and we would have them occasionally on there, like Bud Hopkins, who wasn't a doctor, but he was the one who kind of wrote some of the definitive early work on that regression stuff. And we had Bud Hopkins on the air. I don't even know I hope he's okay. I haven't heard from him lately. So I wish I could tell you. I wonder what would happen if you Googled that, or whether anybody still specializes in it, or even if you called back during the week and you talked to Tom Danheiser, he might have something like that in his Rolodex.
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right, man. Wish I could. And did it happen to you? Is that what you're calling about, or calling for a friend?
No, it's for me.
When did it happen?
When did it happen?
Yeah.
Quite a few years back, and it's happened more than once. It's a pretty trippy deal, you know.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Are you trying to get it out of your head, or just understand what happened?
It's just weird. It's just weird how it happens, because I get real cold when it happens, and it starts shivering. My body just starts shaking uncontrollably, and then and they come. It's just a weird thing altogether.
Okay.
It's hard to describe, because most of the times I wasn't awake during it.
Yeah.
But the time I was, I prayed to God, you know, hey, I can handle anything as long as you're with me. And that's, they came that night, and he woke me up during some of the things I could handle. And it was pretty wild.
Well, it sounds like it, and I'm sure, Tom, if anybody's going to have a number for something like that, it'll be TD. So that'll be sometime next week, and thanks for calling back. And I wish I had it for you. First-time caller line, Jim is in Longview on Coast to Coast. Jim?
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Just got a minute here for you, but go ahead.
I was just wondering if you happen to remember a band. I bought an album years ago when I was in high school. It was called, the name of the band was Libra.
Huh. I don't know. What year would that have been?
Maybe 75, 76. I was a junior or senior in high school, and the reason I bought it because I happened to be a Libra, and they sounded so much like Mahogany Rush, and I was just wondering if anyone...
Well, here's why. I just looked it up, right, because it didn't jump out at me. They were from Italy.
Okay.
They were a progressive... rock band, 1974,
okay.
Unique jazz rock, funky grooves, classic instrumental. That sounds like them.
So
they were formed in Italy. Is all that it says here. It doesn't look like they're all Italian, but that's where they were formed anyway.
And I was wondering, Ian, you know, earlier a guy called and said he had a bone to pick with you, and you took it offline. I was wondering if maybe in a future show you might tell us what that was all about.
I don't know what it's about. I just didn't like the tone, and I didn't agree to being yelled at. And that's, it seemed like he didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to yell about it. So I just have a policy on that. So, I mean, I'm perfectly willing to hear his complaint. The only thing he mentioned, or that I could hear, was in the first hour, I was talking about this, there's a new flesh-eating STD that had been discovered in England. It apparently has existed in other parts of the world, but it's making its way west. It's a flesh-eating STD, which is, you know, pretty horrible. And I said, you know, if you want kids to not have sex, forget about Catholic guilt. Just show them pictures of that. That'll take care of it. And that's what got him all mad. I don't know how mad you can get about that comment, but it was actually a tribute to my old college roommate who was Catholic. And those types of pictures, like he had a priest that would show them in youth group, like pictures of STDs. And that totally freaked him out. So it was really just a shout out to my old friend, Timmy, but appreciate that. Thank you. I wish I had time for anybody else. Don't, just ran out of time, but we'll do open lines again some other time soon. I think I'll be back again a couple times in September, reading a really cool true crime book that attempts to solve an old murder. I think that's what's on the dock next. But there's also a book, if those of you who like these discussions about music, a new book about the satanic influences in Led Zeppelin. And I mean, it's not just like some fan book or whatever. It's a real attempt to try to understand what part the whole Aleister Crowley Luciferian thing played a part, whether separating that from the satanic thing. You get the idea. So that'll be coming up, we hope, in September. In the meantime, look, you know, hold them in your hearts in Hawaii. This is the time they pay for paradise. It's a big, ugly storm, and it's not over yet. So tomorrow's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Say a prayer. Deus te amat, and I do too.